shared the greatest news in the world with a bunch of shepherds. Hallelujah. Amen. Most people, you know, they'd look for somebody that could really do something for them. But God chose shepherds. And he revealed his word to the lowliest of the low. He shared his news and with them. So the shepherds usually were either the youngest in the family or somebody that was couldn't do much of anything else. They were not people's favorite people. It called for a rugged lifestyle. In the springtime, after the winter snows and the sun began to shine and the grass began to grow, the shepherd would take the flock out into open range. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm about all this. And the shepherd would take the sheep out and he would graze in open range. That's why they had to move constantly. If you've ever seen pictures of Israel, you can literally see on the mountainside, you can see tracks that are cut into the mountainside from thousands of years of sheep walking and grazing. It's very interesting. There, you can just see the trails and the tracks that have been carved into even through the stone where those sheep and shepherds have walked for thousands of years. And now it's an arid country. It's a rocky country. So finding good grass is it's an effort. Constantly moving to find that. And good water. So a shepherd lived a lonely existence. It was just the shepherd and the sheep. It wasn't, there wasn't much social contact except with other shepherds. It was a very, very lonely existence. And yet, it was a very responsible job. I've always thought it was interesting that some of the hardest work pays the least. I don't know of anything harder than digging holes. Do you, Brother Wesley? But it don't pay very good. Especially when you're working for Brother Grissom. It's tough digging holes, but you don't get much money for that. And I've heard people complain about plumbers, you know, and how much they make. One guy, doctor, was having his plumbing worked on, and he told the plumber, gave him his bill, and he said, "Man," he said, "I don't make this much money, and I'm a doctor." And the plumber said, "I didn't either when I was a doctor." But if you've ever done much plumbing, you understand why. Amen. That's hard work, and it's very, very dirty work, especially on existing plumbing. Nothing worse than working on that. I've done it, but it's not fun. And so the hardest work sometimes it pays the least, and shepherd's one of those jobs. It's just something nobody wanted to do. But David was a shepherd, and David was a good shepherd. Shepherds were responsible for the flock. If a shepherd lost a lamb, the owner could take it out of his wages. So that's why a lion and a bear, when the David said a lion came to my father's flock, he said, "I stood up and I killed the lion." He said, "A bear came and took a sheep. I took the lamb right out of his mouth and I killed the bear." You know, that come out of David's wages. He said, "You're not taking my wages." And they stood up to predators and protected the flock. So David was a good shepherd. And a lot of solitude. And I think sometimes people are scared of being alone. But solitude is a school where you can learn a lot of things. You learn about yourself. I think some people don't want to be alone because they don't want to know about themselves. They don't want to learn about some things going on. But in solitude, you learn a lot about yourself. And David had a lot of alone time. And I believe that a lot of the Psalms were probably written while David was a shepherd. And he had time on his hands. And he had time to think. And he had time to sing. He had time to praise. He had time to pray. And during that time, God developed some wonderful things in David's life. And it's important, and of course I know I'm not teaching young people here today, but especially when you're young, there are some things and habits that you can develop that will bless you for a lifetime. Amen. There are some things that God can form in us in solitude that will be with us for the rest of our life. God observed David's faithfulness. Everybody say, God observed. It's important what God sees, isn't it? God observed. What nobody else could see, God could see. When nobody else was looking, God was looking. And that was the main thing. And the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Don't we love him? Amen. Saul was a, the Bible said he was a head and shoulders above everybody else. He's tall. He looked like a king. And that was good. You know, looks are important in politics. Amen. I said looks are important in politics. And especially, maybe not as important in years past before that we were so image conscious. But television has brought that about. Now people can see you. In Abraham Lincoln's day, it wasn't so important because nobody saw you unless they were there. You didn't have a lot of imagery. But today, it's important, beginning within the 60s with the presidency of John F. Kennedy. That's when the television became so prominent in the election of officials. But God told Samuel, he said, don't look at how good-looking he is. Don't look how tall he is. He said, you're doing what you did last time when you saw Saul. And he said, Abinadab looks good and these others look good. He said, but I have refused him. That word always kind of scares me a little bit. When it said, the Lord says, I refused him, it's as if the Lord may have considered him but found something he didn't like. He said, I refused him. I looked him over and I found some things in his heart that weren't right, and I just refused him. I went on until I found David. And then he reminds us, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. How many times we say, oh, he's got a good heart. Amen. And so it is important that a person has a good heart. And after Samuel had looked at all of Jesse's sons, he said, are these all your kids? And he said, the youngest is watching the sheep. And that's when Samuel said, well, we're not going to sit down till he gets here. So he sent a servant and collected David. David came, and that's when things really began to change. Amen. And the Lord sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people. So God found something special in David, didn't he? He looked in his heart, and he found something that was very, very special to him. Amen. When you're faithful, it brings about opportunity. And opportunity is important, that we learn how to seize opportunity. Whenever it comes available, you just do the best you can. And if you've been faithful, then have you ever noticed that once something's going, it's a lot easier to keep it going? Have you ever had to push a car? It's hard to get it going, isn't it? I mean, you got to really get with it if you're going to get a car to rolling. But once you get it rolling, it's not so hard to maintain. And if you're going downhill, it's real easy. And then the problem's getting things stopped. And but momentum's important, you see. And if you're faithful, you're already in motion. You're doing something. But if you're not, then it's hard to get going. Faithfulness is vital in the Christian life, and it's what God looks at first. So God anointed this shepherd boy. Amen. The Lord gave his endorsement to him. It was his seal of good housekeeping, I guess. God applied an endorsement upon David. He said to Samuel, he said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. Amen. And so he got up and he went over and he poured the oil upon his head and he anointed him. Now, When prophets anointed somebody, they did a proper job. Amen. And I want you to see how they did it. See that oil, that horn that he had the oil in? I have read in various places that that horn would hold about a gallon and a half of oil. So when you got anointed, you really got anointed. Amen. Sometimes we put a little oil on somebody's head and pray for them. But in Bible times, when they anointed you, you got it. Forget it. 31, 33, whichever. It talks about the oil that was put on Aaron's head and ran down his beard and all that. That's because they really anointed him. Amen. It wasn't just a little smear he put on his forehead. Yeah. Of course, olive oil is expensive these days, isn't it? But if everybody, the time you come up here, we'd be running quite a bill if I poured the whole jug on your head. Plus, many of you wouldn't come up for prayer either after that. But you'd have to really be desperate. But whenever Samuel anointed David to be the king, he really did anoint him. Took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. I like that, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Amen. When we talk about anointing in our vernacular today, it's not just oil. Of course, it's the Holy Ghost anoints us. And that anointing is a divine enablement that comes upon a person that allows them to do, by the Spirit of God, things that exceed themselves. And they're able to operate in a realm that they could not operate in by themselves. This is where the gifts of the Spirit come in, an anointing, right? Amen. And even in preaching, how many times I've had people almost get angry with me for some things I would say, and then they'd say, "Who told you that?" I say, "Nobody told me anything. I don't know what you're talking about." Amen. But apparently, during preaching, the Lord put something in my mind or my mouth that I didn't know what I was revealing, but they did. Amen. That's anointing, isn't it? It's anointing. The Lord uses things and uses people. He uses us to do his work. And so God anointed David to be the king over Israel, and the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, there's nothing like it. You and I know this. Amen. It's the greatest thing that can happen to a human being, is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And David, in his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Everybody say, "A right spirit." Once you get the Holy Ghost, you want to have a right spirit. You can't be satisfied with an old ugly grudging spirit and a bitter spirit. You want a right spirit. And he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." When the Holy Ghost comes, it's our greatest treasure, and it's the most important thing in our human lives. Amen. God's orchestration of circumstances. Isn't it interesting how God can make things happen? I look at my own life, and I'm amazed at how God just makes things happen. You look at, can you imagine a Hebrew boy, and God said one of these days, he said, you're gonna be so famous, everybody's going to bow down to you. And he thought, well, how in the world is that going to happen? And the next thing you know, he's a slave, and he's been sold into slavery. And the next thing he knows, he's in the Potiphar's house down in Egypt. And if that wasn't bad enough, somebody lies on him and gets him thrown in jail. And you think, man, God, how anybody ever going to bow down to me down here? I'm a low man on the totem pole here. Amen. And one afternoon, God took a Hebrew boy and put him on the throne of Egypt. Now, only God can orchestrate something like that. And there's no way that he could ever have been where he was without God putting him there. He couldn't have pulled enough strings to get there. And he'd had no money. He had no influence. All he had was God on his side. And if God can do that for Joseph, God can do that for us. So when the Lord speaks something to you, don't doubt him. Believe him. Amen. And then just wait for God to open the doors. William Cowper was a British poet and hymnist, and he struggled with depression and difficulties and mental issues. But he wrote a beautiful hymn called God Moves in a Mysterious Way. And we find that true, don't we? Amen. And so these are the words that he wrote. He said, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And so God works in mysterious ways. It's amazing to me, and I've always marveled at how God does things. Just don't try to figure him out. You'll blow a fuse. You won't get it, because God always does things in a mysterious and a marvelous way. But my, he can. The Bible even says, doesn't it? He said he puts up kings and he takes down kings. And that he does. Amen. And how God does things. I was thinking of my sister, her. going through a really tough situation. That'll come to me in a minute. And she was in a courtroom and at a Christian school. They were trying to close it down. They were $1,500 a day or something. And the bills were mounting up. And the state of Nebraska is trying to shut her school down. She's standing for righteousness. And she's having heart problems. And she broke her arm. And everything in the world that could go wrong had gone wrong. Amen. And there she was, and she's still, even though the physician had said that she wasn't in no physical condition to be going through this, but the court demanded that she go through it anyway. And she's sitting there, her heart so weak she can barely sit. And finally she said, Lord, I just can't take anymore. And the lawyer's just hammering away at question after question, rattling like a machine gun. And she said, all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord stepped between her and the lawyer, and he just shut up and sat down. Amen. God has a way, folks, of turning things around. Amen. Well, even when you can't see it, and God allowed her to see it, but that's not always what happens. But God works things out. Isn't that amazing how he works? Amen. He orchestrates circumstances. He certainly did in David's life. Amen. The Spirit did depart from Saul. Now remember why? Because he was disobedient, wasn't he? God couldn't trust Saul. He failed him and miserably failed him and stepped into a place that wasn't his. We got to be careful about that, you know, assuming. It was bad enough that God waited 400 years to settle a grudge with Amalek. And Saul failed that test. He didn't slay the Amalekites like the Lord told him to do. He said, I'm going to save the best. God didn't say anything about saving the best. He said, I want you to wipe them out, because he had promised that's what he was going to do. And so Saul interfered with his promise. But what really got Saul in trouble was one day Samuel was, in Saul's opinion, he was late. And so Saul offered a sacrifice, which was not his job. That was the priest and the prophet's job. But he says, I forced myself. And he stepped from a king into the office of the priest, and God forbade that. And that was the reason that the Lord took his anointing and his spirit away from Saul and told him that he was going to take the kingdom away from him, and that he did. And so it was a serious consequence. Amen. And so the spirit had departed from Saul. The Bible said it this way. It said, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And that verse troubles me. An evil spirit from the Lord? How can that be? God has no evil. So how do we have an evil spirit from the Lord? The only thing that makes sense to me is, let me just say it like this. Darkness is nothing. Light is something. Light is a positive force. And as long as there's light, there can be no darkness. But as soon as light is extinguished, darkness immediately fills the vacuum, doesn't it? And so to me, that's what's happening here. When the Lord withdrew his spirit from Saul, immediately the evil went into that space and covered what God had put his light there. God has put his spirit there. When he withdrew his spirit, instantly the evil came in to replace the presence of God. And that's the way the kingdom works, folks. You and I are in a protected place in the Lord. And it's important that we stay there. Because as soon as if God vacates an area, immediately the darkness sets in. And that's what happened to Saul. When the Spirit of the Lord lifted, immediately the devil stepped in to the territory that God had vacated and began to trouble him. Amen. And the devil only has one purpose, and that's to torment. We better get that through our head. There's not anything good in him. His sole purpose is to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's what the Bible said. And that's exactly what he does. You look at people today whose lives are in his clutches and you see what's going on with them. Their lives are a wreck and they're a mess because the devil only seeks to kill and steal and destroy. He always brings chaos and trouble, whatever he steps into. Amen. That's the scary thing. Folks think, well, it's hard living for God. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. You think it's hard living for God. You remember what it was like before you started living for God. You think it's hard not to give in to something. You remember how hard it was to get rid of something. Amen. Hey, it's hard being a transgressor. You think it's hard being a saint of God? No comparison. Amen. This is easy street compared to that. Amen. You let people talk about, oh, you Christians, y'all live in bondage. You can't do this. Oh, yes, I can. I just don't want to. I got better sense now. Hey, when I walked into light, I said goodbye to darkness. When I stepped into the perfect law of liberty, I said goodbye to the law of sin. I don't want to be bound anymore. I like living free. Hallelujah. I like making my own decisions and being able to say no to the wrong thing and right to the yes to the right thing. And so it's good today that we remember that. Amen. So an evil spirit entered into Saul, and the Bible said it tormented him. And so the Lord then, somebody came up with the idea, one of the servants said, let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player. That means somebody that can really play. And on a harp, amen. And I heard somebody say one time that his wife was an angel. I said, really? He said, yeah, she's always up in the air harping about something. So she wasn't there, of course, when he said that. And he didn't tell her, is that? I was at a wedding yesterday, and it was amazing how nice they were in there, talking about their wives. Amen. Because they were all present. Amen. I don't know how that got in here, but it did. And it shall come to pass. Better get back to what I'm saying here. When the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. And so that's what they did. Now David learned to play somewhere. He learned to play a harp. Now when we're talking about a harp, we're not talking about one of those great big monstrosities like inside that piano right there. That's not the kind of harp. It's a lot simpler instrument than that. And it wasn't near that big, that heavy. It was something that he could have carried and played. And so David learned to play well a harp. And he had a harp that he could play on, and he got good at it. As a matter of fact, he built a reputation playing the harp. And apparently, people knew about it, right? Again, the Bible said a man's gifts will make room for him. But if you don't practice and you don't play, amen. Somebody said, well, I want to be a great singer, but don't ever sing. I want to be a great pianist, but you never play. Amen. I want to be a great preacher, but you never preach. Amen. You gotta do it. You gotta get out there. You gotta put yourself on the line. You gotta use your gifts. And so David did that. He learned to play the harp, and the evil spirit that oppressed Saul and troubled him, David's sacred music could take that old ugly spirit away. Amen. I don't know how to find this. I've looked for it, but it does make sense. Somebody said the Hebrew word for music means to travel. Now, I really feel like there's something to that, because that's literally what happens when you listen to music. It depends on what you listen to. Music affects us. Shake your head like this right here. You think music doesn't affect you? It does. You know, when you go in a restaurant and it's noontime and they're trying to run a bunch of people through there, you know what they're playing? They're playing fast music. And man, you're getting with it. You are eating it and you are putting it down because they want you out of there. But you go back to the same restaurant in the evening and they got the candles are lit and the cloth, tablecloths are on the table, and the guys are standing there in their nice clothes with a table on their arm. You know what kind of music they're playing? Soft and slow. Because they want you to tarry and not be in any hurry. Amen. Music affects us. You know, did you know why they play music in hen houses? Huh? Because it makes the chickens lay more eggs and makes them do it faster. Yeah, it does. They're not playing that music for the people that work there. They're playing it for chickens because music affects them. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Music affects us. It does. So we need to be careful what we listen to. That's right. Music affects us. Amen. I'm not here to teach a lesson just on music, but it does have an effect on us. And music, sometimes, you know, you can listen to music and some music can get you so wound up. And it does affect us. You know, sometimes I go in a restaurant, I'm in Mazio's up there, you know, and I'm eating my pizza. And all of a sudden my foot's going like this. And I think, what in the world am I doing? Hey, man, what am I listening to? Because music's affecting me. I don't know. It just is. Amen. And it has a great, great effect on us. And so we have to be careful what we listen to, because the good music affects you in a good way. And then, of course, there's music that affects you in a very negative way. But music does affect us. Amen. David was a very qualified young man. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 18 gives us his qualifications. First of all, he said, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, of the Bethlehemite. Now, Jesse had a good reputation in Israel. A good reputation is important, isn't it? It is. Amen. That's right. Amen, Brother Grissom. Thank you for saying that. Amen. It said he was cunning in playing. That means he was good at it. He's a mighty and valiant man. That means he's very brave. It said he's a man of war. Amen. David was a man that wasn't afraid of anything. I love that story I read years ago about a general that was inspecting the troops. They were standing there rigid at attention. A general looked down and he saw one of the soldiers at the end of his sleeve. His cuff was frayed. And the general noticed that and he said, "Soldier, is that uniform frayed?" He said, "No, sir. This uniform ain't frayed of nothing." Amen. That's the answer I like. David was like that. He wasn't afraid of nothing. Amen. He stood up for what was right. Amen. So he was a valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters. That means he was a wise man. And he was a comely person. That means he was easy to get along with. He was likable. Don't you like likable people? It's okay to be likable. David was. And then the greatest qualification, he said, and the Lord is with him. The presence of God abides with David. So those were David's great qualifications. Amen. And then the king requests from the father that Saul allow David to come to his house. So he sends a message to Jesse. And even though it was going to cost him something, he responded positively. And he accepted David. And so Jesse not only said that David could go, but he sent some gifts with him. Amen. The Bible said he sent bread, a bottle of wine, and a kid. Now, when he sent a kid, that means it's in a little goat. That didn't mean one of his children. Let's be sure we get that right. Amen. And so when Jesse came to Saul the king, he had some gifts with him. Amen. And so David came and the king approved of him. The Bible said that David came to Saul, stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Now that was a place of great significance and honor. An armor bearer is the one that went before the king to protect him. It was somebody that he really trusted and had a lot of confidence in. And so David not only became the musician in the royal palace, he became the armor bearer to the king. Amen. And God gave him a very, very special place. Amen. And so God exalted David in Saul's sight. And he was blessed for a long time. And then, of course, he had his difficulties, didn't he? There was a spirit of jealousy that came over Saul, and he began to seek David's life. And that was a tragic situation. Amen. But anointed music dispels fear. That's why it's important what we listen to again and what we sing. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's important what you listen to, what you allow in your head. Yeah. It really is. Praise God. And music affects just about everything we do. Scientists now say that mothers that play soft music, classical music, it enhances the baby's ability to develop and causes them to be calm. They've also noticed that if you play hard music, that the baby gets real agitated. I do too. Amen. And so music affects us. It really does. It has an effect. I'm trying to finish up here. I'm nearly through. Amen. And So it's still, music still, it dispels fear even today. Songs of praise and victory encourage the hearts of people and give them hope. And isn't that true? Amen. We get to singing around here and we like it. Amen. I love music. Thank God for the musicians. They're coming right now and they're going to start playing. That means it's time for me to hush. Amen. So see, music does have an advantage. It even gets me to hush. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord refreshes. Yes, it does. As David played music, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, and it calmed him. It calmed him down. Amen. Isaiah wrote this. He said, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith the weary may cause, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." This verse is a reference to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Because the Holy Ghost is a rest. It brings rest into our lives. Amen. And that's vital and important that we understand that. Amen. I'm going to skip through this, some of these verses. I know it's time to change order of service here almost. Amen. Y'all don't rush me now. And evil spirits flee. Amen. Hallelujah. Evil spirits flee from worship. They do. Amen. They cannot stand worship. Now, if you're having a battle, one of the greatest things you can do is stop and worship. There's times that you can, when you can't pray, it's time to stop and worship. Amen. I've noticed that. Sometimes I'm trying to pray and my mind is going 30 directions at one time and I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that and I'm frustrated and I'm not feeling anything. You know what I do when that happens? I stop praying and I just start worshiping. Amen. I just start telling God how good He is and thanking God for all the things He's done. After a little while, amen, I get to feeling pretty good. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord begins to move. I get a spirit of gratitude, and I'm not frustrated anymore. Is it okay to say that I get frustrated? Is that all right? Yeah, well, I do. Amen. I've learned how to deal with it somewhat, but I still battle that, just like everybody else. Amen. A new life results, and that's exactly it. A new life came into David's life, certainly. We're talking about his childhood here. And after this, David went through a severe time of testing. And we're not going to get into that today because this lesson does not pertain to that. But you better believe that David went through some difficult times before he ever became a king. He was a vagabond. He was a fugitive. He ran for his life. And he feared for his life. And what a story all that is. How God brought all things together. Just amazing what the Lord can do for a person when they decide that they're really going to serve Him. David was the youngest one of Jesse's sons. I can identify with that. In my family, they saved the best till the last. Yeah, they did. He served faithfully. Everybody say faithfully. He had a tough job. He had the lowest of all jobs. Amen. I can't. Have you ever been around sheep? Quite frankly, they stink. They make messes. They're dumb. They don't appreciate anything you're trying to do. Amen. I've known people like that. The Bible said we are the what? Huh? Sheep of His pasture. Amen. Sometimes we're stinkers, aren't we? And sometimes we're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Amen. But God loves us anyhow. And David, he watched over the sheep faithfully, diligent. Amen. God promoted him. God used him in a very, very great way. Now, in closing, just let me read a verse today from Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. And this is what the wise man Solomon had to say. He said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Amen. If you're going to do something, you go ahead and get with it. Amen. If you're going to be a chicken catcher, be the best chicken catcher you can be. If you're going to be a dog catcher, you be the best dog catcher ever was. Amen. If you're going to be a president, you be the best president there's ever been. Whatever you decide to do, get with it. If you're going to play the piano, play it like you mean business. If you're going to sing a song, sing it like you mean business. Amen. If you're going to preach a sermon, preach it like you mean business. Amen. Praise the Lord. Abraham Lincoln said, I like to watch a man preach like he's fighting bees. In other words, he wanted some animation in it. He wanted some passion in it. Amen. So whatever we find to do for God, let's do it with all we got. Amen. Give it all you have, whatever it is you decide to do. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's invite the presence of the Lord here. We're going to change now to our morning worship service. And these folks are coming to sing. And let's do that. Let's sing with all of our might. Let's worship God like we mean business here today. Shall we? King of kings and Lord of lords, we love you here today and are very, very thankful to be in your house and in your presence. We ask you to guide us from this point forward. Let your blessing be upon everything we do. Let our worship be heartfelt and hearty and sincere before God. And bless us, O God, in what we do in this service this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Hallelujah. If you believe that today, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. I want to welcome everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. I believe Sister Martin's family is here. Amen. Lord bless y'all this morning. Good to see you. And an old school friend of mine, Jeff Levis, and his son Dylan. Good to have y'all this morning. Amen. So good to see Brother Rodney and his wife back with us again. Amen. Been missing y'all. Praise the Lord. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Tell them how good it is to have them in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's worship.
When you praise the Lord, you shall hear from heaven. When you praise the Lord, there is victory. When you praise the Lord, Satan's power is broken. So let us praise the King of kings and Lord of lords. And when you praise the Lord, you shall hear from heaven. When you praise the Lord,
Continue standing while we take our knees before the Lord this morning. I know that Brother Robbie Morris is in the hospital. Still need a touch from God in his life. Amen. And Sister Dickerson, I believe she got to come home this last week. That's good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. But let's continue praying for her and her life. Anybody else got a special need that didn't make it to the list this morning? Gary Padgett. Yes, I heard some things about him, but we need to keep him in our prayers. Amen. He needs a miracle in our life. But we serve a miracle-working God. Amen.